Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to episode 188.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Today's episode is brought to you by OmniSend. If you're in e-commerce marketing and it feels like those weekly newsletters are no longer enough to power your growth, you're going to love OmniSend. With more than 3,000 five-star reviews, OmniSend is the go-to choice for nimble Shopify merchants who want to step up from regular email campaigns so you can actually start increasing your sales, not your workload. With OmniSend, you'll be launching pre-built e-commerce automation in no time, as well as intuitively segmenting customers based on their shopping behavior and even trying out SMS or push notifications, all from the same platform. The best part? OmniSend provides an immediate boost to your revenue while staying as easy as drag and drop email building, with automated emails averaging up to 40% of the total email revenue. Join Duke Cannon, Black Halo, and other high-growth Shopify brands that choose OmniSend to grow their e-commerce business on autopilot. So visit OmniSend.com and start your 14-day free trial today with no credit card required. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, this is your first time listening. This is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. If you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you probably are, since you're listening here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog, directly from E-Commerce Fastlane. I think we're up to 187-ish episodes. So there's a lot of great partners in the Shopify ecosystem, a lot of agency partners solving a lot of great problems and really helping brands to improve efficiencies and grow revenue and lifetime loyalty. So go check that out, ecommercefastlane.com. Now, in today's episode, my guest is Chase Diamond, who is the partner at Structured Agency. And what they are is they're a top e-commerce marketing agency, and they currently have helped over 150 of the fastest growing e-commerce and direct-to-consumer brands, these digitally native brands. They really help acquire and convert more customers. And I know we're all dying to do that consistently. Now with iOS 14 update and, our open's dead, and there's lots of things going on in the email and the SMS world. And I wanted to make sure I get Chase on. He's heavily into social. He has his own online course. There's a lot of stuff, thought leader around email and other parts of marketing. I think super important that we have him on the show today. We're just moving into Q1 right now. There's this inevitable rush that's going to be happening. And so this might be a great timing to learn more about how email could be better implemented as part of your overall marketing strategy. So hi, Chase. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thank you for having me. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. I tell you, this is the most exciting part of my career at Shopify, is the opportunity to get onto this podcast and meet agency founders like yourself, because you're front lines like I am, but you have people on retainer and you're actually like measurably making impact and helping them. That's the difference with maybe as a Shopify employee. I'm not the agency partners. A lot of times I can't get under the hood and actually do a lot of the work. I can kind of, make some warm introductions and get you on betas and kind of help you out. But you're knee deep in the trenches. And I'm hoping you have a couple case studies and some of the people that you've really helped to serve and help them grow their brands. I think we know email, owning your list, has been pounded into us forever, but a lot of people are just not doing it well. And that's why I'm glad you're on the show today, so we can kind of set the record straight about what needs to get done today. today as far as being a successful digitally native kind of direct to consumer brand. So let's maybe dig in a little bit first on more on a high level about these sort of problems. Obviously, it's around email, but like overall, like how are you helping Shopify store owners today?
Yeah, absolutely. So for context, most of the businesses that we work with do in the ballpark of 7 to 9 figures in annual revenue. And when they come to us, they typically have one of three problems, if not all three problems, right? So problem number one is they typically aren't capturing leads effectively. So they're not either leveraging some kind of pop-up, some kind of flyout, some kind of embedded form, or if they are, using it, then there's a lot of opportunity to optimize and improve. That's number one. Number two is their flows aren't producing. And I guess one backstep, when I talk about flows, I mean an automated email. Think about an abandoned cart or some kind of welcome series for non-buyers. So this is an email that's sent based off some kind of behavior or trigger or action. And then the opposite of that, right, is the campaign. And a campaign is a one-time send to a group of contacts. Think about some kind of holiday offer or some kind of promotion. So just kind of quick verbiage as we go. So their flows typically aren't producing enough revenue. And it's typically because most of these folks are just setting and forgetting it. The number of times they get on a call with someone, they're like, yeah, I have flows that I set back up in 2017. It's like, whoa, okay. Or they don't have any flows at all, right? Which is even worse. Having something, even though I joked about they haven't done something in a while, having something is better than nothing. So that's typically problem number two is the flows or the automated emails aren't producing. And then three, they typically have no strategy or no structure around their campaigns. So sadly, a lot of brands in 2021 and beyond are still batching and blasting. Mm-hmm. And that's basically just mailing their entire list without any kind of strategy or rationale behind why. So those are kind of the issues that people have. And we personally solve those kind of problems by what we do is email marketing and more recently SMS by plugging these holes. So we fix these things by evaluating kind of how effective they are or they are not capturing leads and obviously implementing changes, looking at the data, whether that's testing some kind of offer. Maybe it's 10% versus $10 off. Maybe it's free shipping. Maybe it's even the behavior of, does it show up right away? Does it wait till someone scrolled 25% of the page? Does it wait for 10 seconds before it shows up? Right. So all the things like that, improving things like the creative, the copy, all those types of things, the imagery. And then we also review the flows and the campaign performance. So we'll check these results that kind of they're at, where we might expect it based off of industry data, based off data from Shopify, based off data from the ESPs, which are the email service providers, and based off our own data. So we currently work with over 100 brands on the email side and SMS sides alone. And a lot of them fall into certain categories, health and wellness, beauty, home goods, apparel. So we are able to compare different brands and different verticals, depending on the AOV, depending on the LTV, and see where they should be. So long-winded, we're at least on my side of the house, I focus on email marketing and retention. But as an agency as a whole, we do paid ads, kind of content creative, and then retention. So that's kind of a little bit about us.
Very good. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I think that kind of sets the stage a bit, because I'd like to pivot over to the journey, like your journey, because I'm always fascinated why people choose to get involved in certain industries and why sometimes they're a SaaS founder and they're, they had an e-commerce company and they had a purpose built to get, to automate something. And then it turns out that it has some more intrinsic value to others that need to solve the same problem. So, but from an agency side where, usually most, I would say, are on retainer, there's kind of a performance kind of based kind of model where, we're really trying to, improve whatever the KPIs or business outcomes that are important for the brand, if it's, through SMS and email. I just would love to hear your journey about, like, how did you get involved in this industry and like, how is it kind of iterated over time with both your knowledge and then sharing wider? I know you have an online course now, and just curious on that progress through your life of like, why did you choose e-commerce and this sort of automation and marketing field?
Yeah, for me, I'm going to give kind of the long story short version. Okay. And this dates back to when I was actually 13. So at the age of 13, I actually got really sick. And from 13 to 14 for the entire year, I kept getting misdiagnoses after misdiagnoses. Hmm. And then finally, a year later, I kind of got diagnosed with Crohn's disease. Okay. And Crohn's disease is inflammation of your digestive tract. There's about 1.4 million people in the US that have IBD, which is inflammatory bowel disease. It's basically Crohn's plus ulcerative colitis. And at 14 years old, I did what any 14-year-old would do, and I wanted to raise awareness and fundraising for this disease. So from 14 to 16, I basically dedicated my life to learning guerrilla marketing to raise awareness and ultimately funding. So that was things like taking ads out in the local paper, setting up restaurant fundraisers, putting on like these large walks with the charity organization, sending emails to friends and family, you know, sending messages on AIM, calling friends' houses, right? I was doing anything I could to learn it. So for me, like this experience of just, you know, learning something and trying something and seeing success was really how I found my love for marketing. So at 16, I ended up becoming the youngest board member of the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. And then from there in college, I had to help pay my own tuition. So I'd help my parents pay for my tuition or else I couldn't go to college. So on top of playing college soccer, being in a fraternity, being in business clubs, I worked like 6 to 8 different jobs and internships. Wow. And it was through these internships that I once again really found my love for marketing. And this time was a little bit different though. I was making and marketing kind of products and services versus the charity, and actually was making money. You know, in the charity, obviously I was raising money, but I didn't see a single cent. Now I was making money and I'm like in college and paying for these things. And I just was addicted to learning and growing and earning. And at one of these jobs I had, one of the engineers happened to walk past my desk as I was manually copying and pasting emails one by one, right? I would do this. I felt like that was my whole job, was just copy and paste. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I'm like, why are you giving me this weird look? And he taught me about these kind of ESPs and these email marketing platforms where I could do the same thing and send the same message or similar messages to a group of people instead of doing it manually one by one. And I thought this was the coolest thing. I had no idea this thing exists. I wasn't super technical. Mm-hmm. And from there, I've used email marketing extensively at my first few jobs in college on the acquisition retention side. I even built a newsletter that I scaled from 0 to 500,000 email subscribers in 10 months. And then most recently, kind of as we started talking about, I've been focused on e-commerce email marketing for the past 3.5 years. I've sent over 1 billion emails for my clients and done over $75 million in email revenue. So that's kind of my story and my journey so far.
Love it. That's pretty amazing. And I think, you know, it's nice that you have to go into the trenches, so to speak, and kind of, you know, and just let things just happen serendipitously. You just never really know. The same could happen for this podcast with me. I had no idea I was going to actually run a podcast, but, you know, I needed conversation topics for the brands that I manage. And the only way I could figured other than reading blog posts was maybe if I can talk to the founders themselves and find out what sort of individual problems and applications and strategy that they're doing. And that turns into some interesting monthly calls I have with brands now, thanks to this podcast. So thanks for sharing that a lot. So let's talk about email then, because obviously that's kind of your bread and butter. You've proven the fact that you've had a ton of success, you know, both, you know, creating your own newsletter and growing that to 500,000 subscribers. I mean, that's a pretty impressive feat. I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, can appreciate owning the list and the benefits of being able to, you know, send emails out to people and, you know, getting maybe even on the SMS side now, getting a legal opt-in for that too. There's some interesting opportunities there. So let's talk first on why you believe that email marketing should be maybe a brand's first kind of foray into marketing automation.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think email is one of the most tried and true marketing channels. You know, I've been doing it now, obviously through the charity and through the e-commerce and the newsletter and all this for, you know, the past 8 to 9 years. And every month and every year that I've been doing this, email will consistently account for over 20% of our clients' total revenues. And for some of our brands, it gets as high as 30 to 40% of their total revenue. So it's very significant in terms of its contribution to, you know, for total revenue.
Right.
And kind of to add, I think there's a few things that really stand out to me about what makes email so attractive. I think first is the ability to leverage personalization within email is unparalleled. Like, you literally can communicate with each individual subscriber on your list at any step and every step in their customer journey. Someone joins your list for the first time, you can send them a welcome series for non-buyers. Someone's on your list, views a product but doesn't do anything else, you could send them what's called a browse abandonment. Someone's on your list, looks at a product and adds to cart, but leaves, you could do an abandoned cart. You can send people campaigns and automated emails of cross-sells and upsells based off what they purchased, right? This is the reason that I think like Amazon and so many other brands are so effective, is because they own the data. You know, Amazon's able to upsell and cross-sell and do all these things on the website and on email because they know so much about you. So with everything happening with, you know, iOS 14, 14.5, and obviously iOS 15 coming, you know, the ability to understand and know each of your subscribers and build up that, you know, look and kind of that view on each person ASAP is super important. That's one. Number two is the predictability of it. You know, in a lot of cases, we're really able to forecast accurately what the following month and the following quarter's email revenue is going to yield us based on looking at things like week over week, month over month, quarter over quarter, and year over year, the trends, the data, and the metrics. And with a lot of other channels, they're not as predictable. You're not really too sure what you're going to get out of Facebook this week or this month. And this week might be different than next week. With email, obviously there's swings and there's this and that. But across all the channels I've looked at, across all the channels I've seen, email tends to be the number one, if not number two, most predictable channel consistently. And then kind of two other things, as it's really profitable. Your only real cost here, or whatever you're paying your email platform, and that's typically based on the number of email subscribers that you have. So someone that has 1,000 subscribers versus 10,000 versus 100,000, those people will be paying different amounts. Mm-hmm. And then obviously any cost of labor, whether that's an in-house employee, whether that's a freelancer, some kind of external agency. And then lastly, in my opinion, again, obviously I might be biased, I think it's very conversion focused. Okay. A lot of people subscribe to e-commerce brands to get special deals and offers. And when you put the right message and find the right person at the right time, which again, as we all know, that is the holy grail of marketing, mm-hmm. then you're able to convert a portion of your email list. So those are the reasons why I'm so bullish on email today and why I've been so bullish on it in the past.
Love it. And so how do people choose a marketing automation or an ESP? Because you can do a Google search right now. You can go into the Shopify app store and you can have a look. You can type marketing automation or email platforms. There's quite a few out there. And I think, and you may have a thought process around this about like why a brand would pick one over another. But, and I think there's some notable partners. There's certainly some Plus certified app partners that are, Plus certified. So they're, they have the scalability and the reliability and the customer service and all the things that go along with being on the biggest, baddest brands on Shopify. And that's kind of in your sweet spot. The 7 to 9 figures is where Shopify Plus fits into the equation for most. And so how do you, I guess, coach or recommend certain platforms to certain people and why? Because I find it confusing sometimes too, where some people may lay down on one particular platform because that's, there's a lot of marketing hype going on around it and potentially VC money pumping it up, the marketing rah-rah, great platform. But then there are others that are solving similar or better problems in different ways. So I just would love to hear, since you're knee deep into the email and SMS world, how does a brand make a choice of one platform over another?
Yeah, this is a really good question. I've never actually answered this question on record or publicly. So I want to obviously be very mindful. Like as I give this answer, it's only out of respect. This is just the way that I see it.
Okay.
But I see different platforms in different stages. And I kind of look at it in terms of like the education system. So you've got like pre-K and kindergarten, right? Let's classify that as one. Okay. And you've got things like elementary school, middle school, high school, and college, right? Okay. And I think that different platforms fit different needs at different stage points. So I think, for example, Klaviyo is the one that we use with a lot of our clients that are 7 and 9 figures, but I don't know that Klaviyo necessarily is the best platform for someone that's just starting out. So I think some of the platforms that are better for like just starting out, scaling to 6 figures and on the way to 7, mm-hmm. some of the platforms in no particular order that I like and that I see brands choosing that are cost effective and have enough of the tools and not too overly complex mm-hmm. are things like Drip, OmniSend, Privy, and Sendlane. Like those are some of the ones that I've gotten to know the founders personally. I've read some of their content. I've looked at some of their platforms. And I think starting out, those are some of the main ones that I think brands should consider. Okay. And I think as you're kind of scaling, right, I think Klaviyo gets really exciting and really attractive around that 7-figure mark. However, if you're really happy with some of those, the Privy, the Drip, the Sendlanes, the OmniSends, if you're really happy with those, you don't necessarily have to move over just because I'm saying that's what I use and that's kind of the high school or the graduation into college. Yeah. So that's kind of how I think about it. And, you have to judge cost. Klaviyo typically is a bit more expensive than some of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know the per price on some of them, but I know like, for example, MailChimp, it's not one that I personally use as much, but I think it's great for mom and pop shops. It's great for brands that have a couple of locations, maybe like a yoga studio that has a couple of locations that also wants to sell products. So those are some of the platforms I think that brands consider early. And as they scale, their needs might change.
Right. And then when you get into I don't want to say true enterprise, but because I know there's lots of brands in the 9-figure category that are, having success, maybe using Klaviyo or .digital or a few others in this space. So do you find that people can outgrow Klaviyo at some point? And is there a reason to want to pivot? I know you're saying, hey, just because you said it, but I was curious, is there an inflection point somewhere in the, I'm using Drip or Privy or Sendlane to do something, but all of a sudden I see that there's value in maybe leveling up a bit and getting into Klaviyo or .digital or something else, and then is there another inflection point that could happen where, you know, do I want a full Swiss Army knife of all things marketing strategy? And then is that where the next jump is?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think my answer really is a little bit geared towards kind of how our agency operates. So maybe it's a little bit limited.
Yeah.
With us, like, we really specialize in Klaviyo and some of the other platforms that I mentioned that, mm-hmm. you know, as a brand, if they want to change, they want to do other things, whether they want to do something like a Salesforce marketing cloud or something like that,
yeah.
you know, truthfully, we're probably not the right fit for them. So with the brands that we work with that are doing typically between 1 million, and I think our biggest brand is like 150 or 200 million, but most do in the ballpark of like 3 to 20, maybe, you know, 3 to 30 million is kind of like the sweet spot.
Right.
And in those use cases, the tools I mentioned, inclusive of Klaviyo, really do get the job done. Again, like, we work with a couple nine-figure brands. I think we're working with like 3 or 4.
Okay.
They are using Klaviyo, and it does seem, for the most part, to solve our needs.
Great.
But then again, I haven't really used too many of the enterprise tools, so I don't also know what we're potentially missing.
And I also think there's a finite amount of those brands out there. We're talking, you know, upwards of $100 million plus. You know, there's not thousands of them doing that. So I can get it from an agency perspective that there's a lot more opportunity to really help people in the, you know, the $1 to $50 million range, you know, and just improve all parts of their efficiencies and email and SMS. And so get them set up on the right track and then have you, you know, work with them to, you know, to have the right flows and these right campaigns, as you mentioned. So maybe that's a good question to ask now, talking about, like, are there any particular flows that you feel most brands should have, like, right out of the box, as soon as you get involved with a platform? Are there certain flows that should be instantly turned on? And let's talk about why they're important.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to cover three. I'm going to name them really quickly, and then
okay.
I'm going to dive into kind of like the overview, the number of emails, and what each email should include. So the three that I always recommend building, you know, for a brand, of three that we always focus on building first, are the welcome series for non-buyers, the abandoned checkout, which is different than the abandoned cart, and then some basic post-purchase. So I'm going to dive into the welcome series first. This one I think is fairly straightforward, but the first few emails of your kind of subscribers joining your list are really some of the most important messages of the entire customer lifecycle and journey. And these emails are so important because they really get your subscribers kind of used to and accustomed to engaging with your brand via email, right? These are going to set the tone of your entire relationship. So what we typically implement and what I typically recommend is a 4-part email sequence. And at any given point in time, if someone converts off one of these emails, you're going to have what's called a filter, like a flow filter in place that will move them from this welcome series for non-buyers into a post-purchase. So someone would only be eligible to receive all 4 of these if they do not purchase. So let's start with the first one. So the first email can literally just be something simple as like, welcome, thank you, and delivering on any kind of discount code or offer if applicable. So the way in which people get on your email list, I kind of alluded to this earlier, is through some kind of subscription or some kind of collection form. That typically is a pop-up is the most common. There's also flyouts and embedded forms. And we're typically incentivizing subscribers, cold traffic, to give us their email through the use of some kind of discount or offer, whether that be percentage off, dollars off, free shipping, free product with purchase, or even maybe telling people that they can be entered into some kind of weekly or monthly giveaway. So we're going to want to make sure that we deliver whatever it is that we promised. That's number one. Number two is we want to really focus on like the brand story, deliver kind of any insights and info on the unique quality standards of shopping with the brand, and really kind of just highlighting the benefits. So email two really is going to answer that question for the subscriber as for like, what's in it for me? Email two addresses that. Email three is all about social proof. And social proof comes in many different forms, shapes, and sizes. Some of the ones that we like to leverage are customer reviews, any kind of press mentions, any kind of celebrity or influencer or brand endorsements, any kind of retail footprint. So, you know, we're in this many Nordstrom's, we're in this many Macy's, whatever it might be. And then displaying your popular products, right? Guiding people towards the products that other people love is really important. And then the last email of this sequence is really focusing on the community. So you've given them enough info about the brand, they still haven't converted. How do we get them further ingrained in the community? We need to get them to follow us on social, join our Facebook group, hit reply with any questions. So that's the welcome series. It's so important because it's such a necessary time to educate and nurture and hopefully convert some of our new subscribers. Does that make sense before I go on to the abandoned checkout?
100%. Yeah, no, you're preaching to the choir. Thank you for itemizing it that way in that four sequence, because that makes complete sense.
Awesome. So the next one is the abandoned checkout. And again, I mentioned that this is different than the abandoned cart. So let me explain kind of the customer journey. And again, I'm sure most people listening probably understand this, but just in case. So the most number of people are going to be on your homepage on the website, right? And the fewest number of people are actually going to make it through checking out and ultimately making the purchase. So at each step in the drop-off, we want to serve people content. So if someone's on our list, visits our website, and they view a product, right, and they don't start checkout, and they don't add to cart, and they don't buy, we do the browse abandonment. If they view a product, add to cart, but don't start checkout, don't buy, we then do the abandon to cart. And then if people view a product, add to cart, start checkout, don't buy, that's where this abandoned checkout comes into play. So doing this is going to help you really recover and convert some of your most engaged visitors that are already on your website and in your funnel. It's essentially a follow-up sequence sent to someone, again, who's added the stuff to their cart, gotten through a portion of checkout where they fill out their name, their phone number, their email, their shipping, right? They just don't ultimately make the purchase.
Right.
So we typically start with two emails here. So the first email is going to be around reminding the customer of the item or the items that they left behind. And if we could showcase trust and credibility through the form of testimonials and reviews in these emails, great. Otherwise, let's just focus on kind of reminding them of the item or the items that left behind. And then email two, if they don't convert off that first email, really is going to be focusing on educating customers or kind of prospects on what the company stands for. So by hopefully kind of letting them know who you guys are and why it matters, kind of some of the elements we talked about in the welcome series, hopefully this will encourage prospects to complete their order. And again, we're going to want to remind them of the item or the items they left behind. So that way it shows dynamically for each person. It reminds them. And all they have to do is click a button and it's going to take them to their checkout. And then they have to enter their cart info and details and press confirm. Right. So that's the abandoned checkout. Are all good there? Anything you want to cover on that one before?
No, that's good. So welcome series I have. And then getting into the abandoned checkout series is excellent.
Awesome. And then the last one I want to round out kind of on the core flows, the ones you have to do first, is kind of some basic customer thank you, kind of some basic post-purchase. So we always want to show appreciation for our customers by saying thank you. And this really helps strengthen the bond and reduces buyer's remorse, right? We want to make sure that people feel good about buying from us by saying thank you, letting them know what it means to us. So, and then if we could provide any kind of education about our product or products, if needed, then great. Maybe it's a supplement or some kind of hair care or some kind of expensive product. We might want to show them and teach them how to use it and what they can expect while they're waiting for it. And then lastly, if we could get our customers provide like valuable feedback and content as well as join our community, that's going to be great. So, you know, there's multiple emails you can send here. I'm just going to focus on kind of two. And the first one is just going to be a basic customer thank you email. And this is going to be where we show genuine gratitude and we validate the customer's buying decision. And again, include the education here if we need to teach customers how to use the product. That's number one. And then number two is we want to basically, as we give them enough time to actually receive the product, review the product, enjoy the product, we want to do like a product review request. And a bonus, one tip that we've done with some of our clients that's been really successful is we've actually asked people to leave a review on one of our Facebook posts, which we then turn into a Facebook ad. And by increasing the social proof on our Facebook posts and our Instagram posts, we've been able to decrease the cost of acquisition. And then lastly, we want to invite them to join us, to follow us on social and join the community. So those are just some basic post-purchase emails. These are going to be sent in tandem with the emails that are called transactional emails. And a transactional email is very similar to a flow where it's an automated email, but it's really geared towards things that are post-purchase around purchase activities, an order confirmation, a shipping confirmation, things like that.
Right.
And those are typically natively sent from Shopify versus like a Klaviyo or elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So we send our campaigns and our automations, so the flows within Klaviyo, Drip, OmniSend, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And we typically send our transactional emails from Shopify itself. So those are the three kind of core emails I wanted to cover.
Yeah, I love the, thanks for sharing all of those. And I really appreciate you being transparent about kind of what's working today. I think it's really important to share that with our listeners. One thing I have some notes here on. One is leaving a review on the Facebook page that can be converted into like UGC, this user generated content, into social ads, I think is a brilliant way of getting a review and repurposing content that's authentic and real. I think that's a fantastic little tip. So thank you for sharing that one.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing I wanted to ask about, which a lot of founders don't necessarily in the marketing automation sphere, don't really have an answer to this, but I'm going to pick your brain right now and kind of see where this conversation goes. But how are we dealing with the unknown customer? Because some of these flows are under the assumption that exit intent, some kind of a pop-up and some kind of a legal opt-in through SMS or whatever it is. But you know, with a conversion rate of like 2 or 3%, call it 2%, 98 out of 100 people leave, never leave any. Okay, let's back up. Let's say that 15% of people use the opt-in form. And so still 85% of your website traffic is unknown. And so how are we able to somehow market to the unknown customer? Number one, if they come back again, they're still kind of quote unquote unknown to the website owner, to the merchant. But then is there some marketing opportunities here, like through sessions or cookies? Like I'm trying to get my head wrapped around that, because I think it's the marketing holy grail that people are trying to figure out is that I understand the known customer, but what about the unknown customer, and how can I personalize that experience, even though I know there's some laws around personally identifiable information, but is there any kind of technology or best practices about how we can deal with the unknown site visitor to have the best customer experience?
Yeah, that's a good question. Not necessarily an easy answer. And it, you know, top of funnel isn't as much my personal specialty. It's something that we offer at our agency, but I've got partners for that.
Okay.
You know, in you know, iOS 14.5 obviously throws a wrench in some of this, right?
Yeah.
But traditionally, the way in which we kind of treated and targeted those people was just simply through retargeting ads on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Google Display Network. So we kind of would follow that person with ads on websites, you know, native ads, and then on social. So that's kind of typically like historically how we've gone about approaching and trying to get those people to come back, and then re-showing them forms and trying to get them to purchase. And you will get a percentage, right? But you know, if you're talking about 15% opt-in and 2% conversion, right? Mm-hmm. There's still an overwhelming number of people.
And
each time you kind of get a little bit more and more. So it definitely is a challenge. You know, there are some tools and technology out there. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we've used. It's very much in the gray, where there's tools that can hopefully, or not hopefully, there's tools based off of IP that say they can understand who someone is, but then there's like all this gray stuff. So there's tools that we've looked at. There's nothing we've pulled the trigger on, just because we're always wanting to be super cautious, and we'd rather be on the right side of the law than accidentally on the wrong side of it. So there is technology out there. We just haven't used it. So I can't, you know, say for or against it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very cool. Thanks for being transparent about that. Just was curious. So we understand the flows now that are available, and I appreciate these kind of the welcome and the abandoned checkout and the thank you and some of the transactional things that can happen. So with Q4 and kind of this holiday season that's just around the corner, and like as I mentioned, like there's this inevitable rush that's happening. Are you able to share maybe some campaign options that are available through email and SMS that you believe could be impactful for kind of this holiday season?
Yeah, actually I have a couple of thoughts I want to talk about. You know, I was actually working on this earlier with my team, where we were kind of coming up with some ideas on the creative side for pre-Black Friday Cyber Monday, during Black Friday Cyber Monday, and kind of post BFCM.
Okay.
I'd love to talk about that. And I think we'll probably talk about some campaigns in that. So
lovely.
I guess starting with the campaigns, like the campaign strategy, and this first stuff I'm about to talk about is all about pre-Black Friday Cyber Monday. So the campaigns really should tease upcoming sales, but they really should relegate to more engagement type content. We don't really want to burn our audience out super, super early, like right now, with a ton of offers and discounts and deals, right? We're going to get to that. Our best offer is going to be available soon. So we really more want to focus on teasing sales, giving people a heads up of what they can expect, and really just trying to get them to love the brand, engage with the brand. So that's kind of a high level on the campaigns. Kind of talking a little bit more about the flows and the automation. We should switch all the, right, the welcome series, the abandoned checkout, the customer thank you. We should switch all of that to being Black Friday, Cyber Monday oriented as we get closer. So we want to use things like Black Friday Cyber Language in our kind of abandonment series. So we want to allude to the fact that the product that they're interested in might not remain in stock due to these promotions. So less around incentivizing a discount and more around leveraging kind of scarcity, right? Because obviously if you have a limited number of inventory and you're going to heavily discount it, that's when most of your sales are going to happen. So if we can kind of start teasing that all this stuff is going to be running out of stock, obviously it legitimately has to run out of stock. If you're Nordstrom's and you have an infinite supply, maybe this doesn't work for you. But for the average, you know, size company, this would be applicable. And then on the pop-up side, right, we want to make our pop-up excite customers by mentioning that they're going to receive special deals once they're on the list around Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And we want to, you know, maybe expect that these leads could be cold until this heavy promotion period. So we're going to want to engage and nurture them. So that's on the pre kind of Black Friday, Cyber Monday side. I'm now going to move over to the content strategy during Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
Okay.
So during it, well, for one, our campaign strategy is going to be more aggressive than average, right? So most brands, I'd say, probably send in the ballpark of 1 to 5 times per week, right? Yeah. I think one is the bare minimum that a brand should be sending.
Yeah.
And I think probably like 3 to 4, 3 to 5 is that sweet spot, as long as we're leveraging segmentation. So during Black Friday, Cyber Monday, right, I think consumers expect that it's going to increase in frequency. So this could be one campaign per day type thing that you can kind of expect. So be ready for it in terms of the production side, in terms of how many campaigns you have to do, especially if you're going from 1 to 7 in a week. That's going to be a heavy lift. So start now.
Right.
And then also on the automated side, we want to make sure that we trigger our emails in these abandoned series more rapidly. So typically, like in the abandoned checkout, we might send email one, let's say after 2 to 4 hours. We might send email two a day later. And we might send email three, let's say 2 days later. However, during this period of Black Friday, Cyber Monday, we have a really short window of opportunity to convert someone. And they're going to be getting so many emails that we want to be a little bit more aggressive in terms of when we send it. So instead of that first email being sent 2 to 4 hours later, we're maybe going to send it, let's say, 30 minutes later. And then instead of email two going a day later, we might want to send it like 4 to 6 hours later. And then the email three, instead of that going 2 days after email two, we might just want to send that like 12 or 24 hours after email two, right? So people, instead of receiving the three emails over the course of a couple of days traditionally, they might receive those two or three emails within like 24 to 36 hours because we really need to capitalize on this time. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, no. And this is a strategy that, you know, in the past I've mentioned it, but you know, that's why I'm having you on today, because I think that's important to review what your current flows and campaigns are as it relates to BFCM, because it is a unique kind of, I mean, I think the last person I spoke to that I recorded said, you know, 80% of like share wallet is actually spent over BFCM. 80% of their wallet, the total amount of money they have to spend over the holiday season, likely gets purchased through that 4-day event. And so knowing that, you want to make sure that you're considering all your flows and campaigns to go along with the being much more aggressive. So I do appreciate that.
Awesome. And the last one I have here on the Black Friday Cyber Monday is going to be about after it happens. So post Black Friday Cyber Monday, we really want our campaign strategy to not include too many discounts or promotions, right? You know, for 1 or 2 months, we want to go a little bit lighter on the promotions discount. That's not to say you can't do any, but we want to really pull back on how promotional we're being. And we really more want to focus on engaging kind of subscribers and customers with stories, educational content, and trying to get them to participate, whether that's a click or prompting a response. And then the flow strategy should be focused on asking for reviews, introducing the brand story, maybe even introducing the team, and really keeping the audience interested in the brand just as much as they're interested in the product they bought from you. So that's kind of some of the thoughts that were like top of mind for me on Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
And one thing too that I'd like to add also, when we're talking about getting the opt-in and then figuring out, you know, the right kind of BFCM flows and things, I also find that the micro-influencer market is a very interesting market. And as far as getting the opt-in is concerned, let's say like the email or SMS opt-in or even the push notification kind of opt-in, there's a really neat tool, you've probably heard of it, called Gatsby.ai. And Brett and his team over at Gatsby.ai, it's very unique because they're, and I think this is something that can work in conjunction with what you folks are doing now, is just that the fact that for the opt-in, to get the known customer, to get them figured out and consider like future drip sequences with them and re-engagement sequences and welcome sequences, is that they then look at the social footprint. So you actually ask for the or their tool along with your existing tools you're having. So if you're using Klaviyo or if you have Privy or Just Uno or Omnisend or whatever tool you're using as your marketing automation tool, there's going to be some modals and some pop-ups and exit intent and different things that can be triggered as required. But Gatsby works in conjunction with all of those tools. They're an API first kind of solution. I'm not really here to pitch them today, but it's a compelling offer because, you know, when you're entering someone's email address or phone number because they want to opt into a sale or promotion or to be notified that there's going to be, you know, some kind of a drop coming up, part of their sequence is getting people to put in their Instagram handle. The second you have that opt-in for the Instagram handle, now you have the social footprint on Instagram and Facebook. Then the tool then connects over to Klaviyo and other tools to say, hey, is there an opportunity here? This person just opted in. And yes, I'm going to have flows and campaigns set up. Fair enough. I'm going to cultivate and nurture my relationship with this customer until a sale, and then continue on to be becoming a loyal customer over time. But in the early term, it's like, hey, wait a second, this person has 10,000 Instagram followers or 100,000 followers. They may be a customer or not a customer yet. We don't know yet. They've only opted in through this Gatsby tool. What an opportunity, because you can set a filter and send that filter as a campaign over to Klaviyo to then say, hey, you know, thanks so much for signing up to our newsletter or opting in for this. And we happen to notice that, you know, you have 10,000 followers, and we actually have, someone from our retention marketing team or our, there's so much opportunity here of engaging with those people. And then, hey, can we pitch them some product? Can they start doing some ads? Like, there's so much opportunity out there, but it all works because of email. So love it.
It's funny you mentioned that. We hadn't talked about this, but I actually am an investor and advisor in Gatsby, and Brett's been on my podcast and my channels, and I really love what they're doing. So that's cool that you like them too.
Okay. All right. Well, we're thinking alike. So, let's pivot a bit to a story, because, we all love stories, just certainly as entrepreneurs and marketers. I think it's the education and the inspiration that comes from these stories that can really help motivate change in a lot of us, and a lot of us marketing people. Are you able to share maybe a recent journey, maybe of a Shopify brand? They don't have to be plus ideally if they are, but just curious on what you've done, I guess, what their previous relationship was with a different agency or doing it themselves, and then what happened along the way, and then any kind of outcomes that you can share publicly.
Yeah, one client that comes to mind that kind of shares about our agency publicly, so I feel like it's okay to share about them. I know they are Shopify. I'm not sure if they're a plus client or not.
Okay.
But they're called CrossNet, and they're like this sport and this game for like the beach or for your lawn. It's almost like a four-way kind of like volleyball type thing.
Right.
Really cool brand. I believe they're doing eight figures between online and retail. So we started working with them as an agency in Q1 of 2020. I can't remember if it was February or March of 2020. So, we've been working with them for north of a year and a half. At the time, they were doing email kind of internally, and I love those guys, but the truth is they were half-assing it, right? They didn't know what they didn't know. Yeah. And I think their biggest regret is the fact that they didn't start working on email sooner. Mm-hmm. They obviously love working with us, so maybe they wish they started working with us sooner, but they wish they started doing email in general sooner, right?
Right.
And when we were taking them on, when we were auditing it, they were doing like a couple $1,000s a month in revenue from email. So, not great, obviously not terrible. At least they had something. And for, the past year, for 2021, they'll do over $1 million in email revenue. Mm. So they went from doing, let's say, tens of thousands of dollars a year, low to mid tens of thousands of dollars a year in email revenue to, north of seven figures. I don't want to give away the specific number, but they'll do over $1 million this year. Come holiday season, especially, they'll probably even do hundreds of thousands of dollars alone during those few weeks and few months. So with them, they have a great product. I think one of the things they also faced issues with is that they only had primarily one SKU. So I think they felt like, oh, we don't have to do email. Everyone knows our SKU. Everyone knows what we do. We don't really need to collect pop-up. People are going to buy or not. So Introducing, like I talked about, the kind of coming full circle at the beginning of this podcast, introducing the right type of pop-ups and the right type of offers and figuring out what kind of incentives work. Making sure that we have enough touch points at each step in the funnel. They have different products that range from like $50 to like a couple $100s, right? So as you increase that AOV, email is a really great channel to build trust and have enough touch points so someone feels comfortable making that purchase. The great thing about them is they have so much content. They have so much content that they produce and pay for, but way more content that's organic where people share. They've got a Facebook group of raving customers and folks. So I guess long-winded, working with CrossNet to take them from, five to seven figures in email revenue in a year and a half has really been a success story.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of others, but that one I feel comfortable sharing just since they're so public and kind of open about this stuff.
Oh, beautiful. Well, thanks for sharing that. I just appreciate that because it's nice to be inspired by other brands, and you know, especially if you know, you're doing email marketing in house and you appreciate what, you know, what Chase has to say here today. It's nice to hear kind of a third party kind of accolades about, hey, you know what, I'm doing some great work here with the team, and we had some measurable impact based on having someone else manage and take care of it. And so it's good that they've been public on social because I have seen them, and I think their product is really, really, really growing, and I'm pretty sure they're a plus brand also. So kudos to you that you're able to help them out and share each other's stories. So that's great. We are nearing the end of the show for today, but I'm just, you know, curious if you have any insights or any, I guess, additional insights or takeaways. I mean, if you see the amount of notes that I have here, it's like ridiculous. It's life of learning is my mantra, right? Like bend, don't break. I'm just going to keep absorbing everything I can and, you know, sharing it widely. And I do appreciate you coming on the show today, but just if you have anything that you would like more of a high level, you'd like to share with our listeners and any kind of action items.
Yeah. With, you know, Q4 spirit in mind, I guess kind of to round out the podcast and kind of talk about that. You know, instead of waiting until November to begin preparing, there are things that you could and should be doing in Q3 and early Q4 to make sure that you really have the most success possible, right? And, you know, a couple things, right? Like running re-engagement campaigns to boost your engage list, doing initial hype campaigns that kind of create this cohort of people that are ready and primed that are going to just buy from you as soon as you launch. You know, testing your incentive types and identifying the different levels that move the needle is super important, right? So I think a lot of brands just kind of do blanket discounts, which just don't work, right? So many brands use a very simple strategy of offering their highest incentive during the year during this period, and they kind of up it this or up it down depending on if it's before or after. And there's not enough testing to really understand like the levels and the types that you should offer, right? So to kind of give like a concrete example, like to determine the right incentive. So say, for example, you're a brand that has an AOV of $50. Literally just testing a 10% off versus a $5 off discount, like that is good to know, right? Like it's the exact same offer, but does the percentage off or the dollar off move the needle with your audience? Mm-hmm. There's also trying tiered incentives to try to increase the AOV, and AOV stands for average order value. So say that, right, the product is $50 is the AOV. Maybe you offer 10% off on order $60 or less. Maybe you do 15% off on orders that are 61 to 99. And maybe you do 20% off on all orders over $100, right? So we're going to want to try these different things, you know, in the months leading up to it, in the weeks leading up to it, to really assess the results of whether the tests were successful increasing AOV, or if one type of discount or offer is more effective at driving conversions. And then I guess the last thing I would say is Black Friday and Cyber Monday really is the season of acquisition. So it's really where brands drive a significant amount of revenue compared to other holidays and other times of the year. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be the most profitable. So, you know, after acquiring new customers, the goal of the marketing team, whether that's internal or external, doesn't matter. The goal really is to nurture these leads for as long as possible. You want to ensure that your audience is never bored throughout December and then going into Q1 of the next year. They spent money with your brand and you might have just broken even. So you really want to focus on being relevant, engaging, and sending personal content that's hopefully going to get these people really warm and fuzzy about your brand. They're going to buy from you time and time again. So that way you become more profitable on each additional sale. So I guess that's kind of really what I want to round out. I hope everyone has a great BFCM and hopefully these tips were helpful.
Beautiful. And they definitely were. And like I said, notes I have is a justification for an impactful show, from at least from my vantage point. So where can people learn more about, I mean, you as a personal brand and then the agency world and where you call home for your done-for-you services?
Yeah, so for me personally, like the best place is Twitter. That's the best social place. So my handle is ecomchasediamond.
Okay.
My last name is Diamond without the A, so it's D-I-M-O-N-D, so no A in Diamond.
Okay.
So Twitter, ecomchasediamond, share daily tips and tricks on email marketing, e-commerce, agency. That's one. I also have a personal website. It's just my full name. It's chasediamond.com. Again, no A in Diamond. The agency is structured.agency.
Okay.
And then I also have a course. I'm not sure if I can share that, but I have a course all about e-commerce email marketing.
Definitely. Yeah. And I know we talked just briefly before recording today, and I understand you'd like to, number one, talk about it and then share an offer for those listening today who really want to elevate their game when it comes to email.
Awesome. Yeah. Appreciate you letting me do that. So for those listening, so I have an e-commerce email marketing course all about flows, segmentation, campaigns, best practices, email collection. And the link to that is my name. So Chase Diamond. and then it's .podia, P-O-D-I-A, .com. And $100 off for the audience. I'll go ahead and set up the code FASTLANE for $100 off. So thank you guys for having me. Steve, I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. So what I'll do is I'll have ecommercefastlane.com/Chase. That will redirect to your landing page for that $100 offer. And so people can take a look at the list of itinerary of topics and things around email. And getting $100 off will make it very affordable. So those that are looking to kind of do it themselves, but they want, you know, the true thought leadership and exactly what you do in the agency to on a done-for-you side, maybe there's some DIY people, and that's what the course is all about, getting their own education and testing and executing on their own. And that's where your program fits into the mix. So I just wanted to thank you for offering that, and thank you for coming on the show today. And, you know, like, you know this, but, you know, Shopify's mission really is to make commerce better for everyone. I just wanted to thank you, you know, coming on the show. It's very clear that, you know, you're also in tight alignment. I know you want to help Shopify brands. It's very clear that you're doing a fantastic job with hundreds of brands. And I just wanted to thank you for sharing your knowledge and your vision and just being so transparent and giving some great knowledge here to those listening today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day. E-commerce Fastlane is brought to you by Omnisend. Omnisend is an email and SMS marketing platform built for nimble Shopify merchants who want to increase their sales and not their workloads. Full Shopify integration, pre-built automation workflows, intuitive segmentation, and no-code editing makes it easy to get up and running without diving into the nitty-gritty details, unless you want to. More than 50,000 e-commerce brands use Omnisend to grow their businesses on autopilot, converting their customers with quick-to-build, highly relevant emails and texts. So visit omnisend.com, start your 14-day free trial today with no credit card required. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.